So I just want to say something before we get into the next episode. I'm sitting here researching my next episode that I'm going to bring into everybody in my hot little office, drinking my rum, Appleton, of course. And there's a lot of work that goes into the researching. And while we're putting in all this work going into the researching, I'm wondering, why do I put in, well, not even myself, J. Thaddeus Idol. Why do we put so much work into the rebrand and researching a topic for each episode as we've done? If you haven't noticed, we already went through three episodes. The 27 Club, which is about to happen. We went into the UAPs and also Idol hit us. And then we had the, you know what? I'm drawing a blank on it, but you know which ones it is. If you listen, you know. It's a lot of work that goes into the researching. And I was thinking to myself, why do we do this? And I think we did the rebrand as a thank you to you, the listener. We decided to kind of tighten what we do here at I Want All the Smoke Up and kind of give you more of a topic-based podcast to give you more information, links to the topics that we have, some factual information. It's something that's going to make you ponder after the fact instead of just three drunken brothers rambling on. So basically, it's a thank you. And I also want to let you know, we also have mini episodes that we do at the end of almost each episode that we do. And we put that on our Patreon. We decided to do a Patreon to give new content and exclusive content to you, the fans that appreciate us and what we do. And because we appreciate you, we decided to put it on the Patreon. So you just have to go over to www.patreon.com/allthesmokepodcast and you will have access to exclusive content. We're also going to try and get some new merchandise up and maybe seasonal merchandise, but we're going to have merchandise up that's not going to be around for an extended period of time. T-shirts, hoodies, hats, things like that, that might even reflect some of the topics that we went into. But that's all I wanted to say is thank you very much for listening over these years, for the positive and the wonderful feedback we've been getting on the rebrand and the restructure. And of course the Patreon. Head over to the Patreon for the new exclusive content that we're doing for y'all. Thank you very much. And I'm beginning to ramble like I usually do after a couple of glasses of Appleton. So, as I like to say before the plugs, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children above ages, you are now tuned into the world's most dangerous podcast in the middle of fucking the hottest summer I've ever experienced north of anybody's border. I want all the smoke, and we definitely getting it. I'm surrounded by one distinguished gentleman. I only got one of my co-hosts here. We only got Jake Thaddeus here right now. Idol's running behind, so how you doing, Thaddy?
Shit, nigga, hot.
Hot as hell. We were it's hot as hell. This is episode 140, shit, 143.
Nah, it's gotta be like 144. I feel like we did 143 last week.
I think it's 143. Let me check the, I think we're at 143. We did this last year. I wrote down 142 and I know I'm wrong. Last week. On episode 140. Episode 143. I definitely saved the shit out of this wrong. Episode 143, I Want All the Smoke podcast. That's a whole lot. We're almost at 150. I think we should do something like big for 150.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely got to do something big for 150. Before I throw out the shameless plugs, let's get into some of that banter. Daddy, how was your week? What did you get up to?
Just chilled, played a little basketball. Went to one of my homeboys had a baby.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he had a little daughter. So we had a little get together barbecue at his place.
Just fucking during the quarantine.
Yeah, I mean they were.
Well, yeah, but you wasn't. You was just eating ass, like no fucking. He did the pause thing again. Like we can see you. Like you got shadows behind you. I can see cars moving and shit. Yeah, so he was fucking during the quarantine. I feel like that's the best and the worst time to fuck is during a pandemic.
Why is that?
Well, it's the best time because, I mean, at the end of the day, you got a whole bunch of spare time. But it's the worst time. Like, who wants to have a pandemic baby? It's like, oh, we've been out of work for a year and a half. Da-da-da. Oh, yay, another responsibility. Yay.
True. But, you know, he said, he was like, yo, this is the best year of my life. Like, he sells cars, and for whatever reason, I guess that picked up for him. So, like,
oh, nice.
He's making more money. Just bought a new house.
There you go.
So, he was chilling, so. And the only thing he had time to do was fuck.
Just fuck. Fucking sell cars. Is he a younger cat?
My age.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Because I feel like our age is like, I'm done. I'm not having no more kids. Like, at 40 years old, I don't want no more kids.
So, this is his first kid. Like, he has a woman, and she has, I think a 12-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his first, actual kid.
Okay.
So, I don't know if they're going to have more after this. I know she don't want more, but.
Yeah, and he was the stepdaddy, which is a huge step. Like, yeah. I think a stepdaddy's a major step up, and I gotta give the flowers to Father's Day flowers to all stepdaddies out there, because that's a huge responsibility as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I feel like Gabby's 8, so she's gonna be 18 when I'm 50. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. I don't want to be old as fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like when I turn 80, my youngest is gonna be like 12. I don't want that shit. You know what I'm saying? This isn't like, we're not sharecroppers. I don't need to be having all these fucking kids now.
Yeah, I think like that too, because I had my first kid. I was 36, so I'm gonna be an old dad. Especially if I have one more, it probably won't be till next year. So I'll be minimum 39.
Yeah, 40. You don't want to be a, you don't want to have a an only child though.
That too, right? But
you gotta have a sibling.
This kid's so much. I'm like, I don't know if I could have another one of him. I told Wifey, she got to guarantee me a girl.
Oh, wow. How's she going to do that? Like, eat a lot of soy milk? Like,
I don't know. But if she can't guarantee that. The
chromosomes that you're gestating in your stomach.
And then you can't. That you're digesting in your stomach.
gestating. Whatever the fucking. Not digesting. Gestating, nigga.
Oh my God.
Did I say digesting?
Yeah, I thought you said
it. Did I say that? I meant to say gestating. I didn't mean to say digesting. I forgot my sweat rag, my forehead clot. Fuck. Crazy. Do you play basketball? When you play basketball, you were inside, right? At Lindsay?
Yeah, Lindsay's not open yet, but at Prolific. There's that new that new spot. Yeah, and there's actually a summer men's league team that we're playing on, so pretty dope. That you play with refs and organized ball.
You guys alright? You good?
We alright, because most of us are about my age. And
most you got other... Is Postic on your team?
Who?
Ryan.
No. No. He hoops, right?
I think he hoops and he plays flag.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that guy forever.
But I can't remember if he still lives here or if he moved out to NO.
He might have, because I haven't seen him around or heard anything from him in years.
No, I've seen a couple of things on him, but sometimes I'll check him on Instagram on the rare occasion or something like that. But I can't remember if he moved out to NO. I know that was one of his goals, is get out to New Orleans, right? Goes there almost every year and shit like that. And I think he wanted to live out there, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm just telling other people's business. It ain't mine. Yeah, my week was good. I got burnt, bro.
Yeah, looking like
it. And I'm black, so I feel hella disrespected. I don't know if you could tell with the camera, but I'm like tomato and shit like that. And I got these motherfucking Saskatchewan tan lines and shit. And I look like a fucking Neapolitan ice cream. It goes from really, really light to chocolate to red. I look like Neapolitan ice cream.
Strawberry.
It's crazy. Strawberry, yeah, red. Red. No, it's red, nigga. The flavor's red. what's it taste like? It tastes like red. That's how I make my Kool-Aid. But yeah, but we went out to the beach yesterday. And so, nigga, what the hell? Don't ever put the camera down to your crotch again when I'm talking to you. That's so disrespectful. It makes me feel a type of way. What the fuck? When you're and you're holding your fucking towel like that, bro. Ah. Bye. Bye. Anyway, motherfuckers listen to this shit. Nobody's watching. Like, we don't have the video up today. Nobody's watching. But whoever's listening to this shit probably thinks we're crazy. But yeah. So Sassy's like, I bought, like, she said she bought like a tent canopy or something like that. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, it's gonna keep us in the shade. I tell you, this is the shortest thing. I said, first of all, it took me 3.5 hours to set this piece of shit up. And it was inside out the whole time. The instructions are like worse than IKEA. I'm struggling with this shit. I'm really ready to throw this shit in the motherfucking lake. But we finally get it set up. And I'm like, is this thing get any taller? And like, it's, bro, it's like 2 feet by 4 feet. Like, it's enough for one person to lay down in uncomfortably. Like, it's a half tent. A half tent for motherfucking hobbits and shit. I'm like, this ain't sheltering nobody from the fucking sun. So we threw all the fucking sunscreen on the kids. And I just sat in the chair and drank beer. And got home, was like fighting the sleep, bro. Like, I was dying. And then, yeah, woke up today and I felt like a layer of skin peeled off. It was so hot. I was red. Like, when I looked in the mirror today, I thought I was looking at motherfucking like Ed Sheeran or something like that. I looked like a fucking ginger. It's crazy.
Yeah, I can't relate, bro.
Nah, you don't. I mean, the more melanin you got, the more you're not going to burn. Like, that's what you built for. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the Hungarian in me just stepped out yesterday. But I was thinking, like, in Mexico, I never burnt. But when I'm in Mexico, like, I'm in the sun every single day. So I'm getting used to it and shit. I'm actually acclimatizing.
Yeah.
I went from being in my house for 1.5 years to, like, hey, let's sit out in the fucking sun for the whole fucking day. Nope. Wrong. My Caucasian is showing right now. It's crazy. Fucking crazy. So we're going to get into it. So... today we're talking about the 27 Club. What do you know about, how, like, yourself personally, what do you know about the 27 Club?
Very little, but I guess it's like this conspiracy that, like, you know, niggas die at 27, right?
Yeah. So why do they die at 20? I don't know. It seems like the age to die. There's a lot of things around it. So I'm going to give you like the little history. I'm going to let you know some people that died in 27 Club. And then we're going to get into some theories and shit like that. I don't have much on theories as far as like finding them, because it was like rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole that I really didn't have the patience to go down. Like some of the shit, like some of the Jim Morrison rabbit hole is ridiculous. Apparently, it got down to the point where Jim Morrison was in cahoots with Hitler and he's cloned with, he's cloned with motherfucking Walt Disney. And assassinated JFK. It's fucking crazy.
I mean, but that sounds legit.
I think that actually happened. I was using the grassy knoll. But the 27 Club is a club, it was a list consisting mostly of popular musicians, artists, or actors who died at the age of 27, often as a result of a drug overdose, alcohol abuse, or violent means like homicide, suicide, or transportation related incidents. Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, the fuck, and Jim Morrison all died at the age of 27 between 1969 and 1971. At the time, the coincidence gave rise to some comment, but it was not until Kurt Cobain's death in 1994 at the age of 27 that the idea of a 27 Club began to catch in the public perception. So there, long before, there was a lot of artists that died at the age of 27. Due to crazy different means. But when Kurt Cobain killed himself, that's when the whole conspiracy theory around it and all the writings and books and people's opinions on it and stuff like that, that's when it started to come to fruition there.
Can I ask there's a quick question, though?
Yeah, for sure.
Before Kurt Cobain, were any of the other deaths suicides?
There could have been. I know it mostly was drugs, overdoses. No, that was 2003. That was hanging. That was suicide, but that was after Kurt Cobain. Not too much for suicide, no.
Interesting.
We have, that's 2020. No, not too much. I got a whole list of the 27 Club. Funny enough, Tupac isn't in the 27 Club because he died when he was 25. So I know a lot of people are that there's I don't know if it was speculation, but sometimes he comes up in the conversation of that age, of the 27 Club, but he died when he was 25. There's an excerpt. There's a statement from Cobain's mother, Wendy Fradenberg. Wendy Fradenberg Cobain O'Connor. She was in the Aberdeen, Washington newspaper, The Daily Word. She says, "Now he's gone and joined that stupid club. I told him not to join that stupid club." And she referred to Hendrix, Joplin, and Morrison dying at the same age, according to that newspaper. Now, that's when a whole bunch of speculation started coming up about the 27 Club and his mom confirming that I told him not to join that club, like it was an actual literal thing, right? But on the other hand, there's a book called The 27s, The Greatest Mysteries of Rock, The Greatest Myths of Rock and Roll by Eric Segalstad. I'm killing these fucking names. He assumed that Cobain's mother referred to the death of his two uncles and his great uncle, who all committed suicide. According to Cross, the events have led a set of conspiracy theorists to suggest an absurd notion that Cobain intentionally timed his death so he could join the 27 Club. So there's a big conspiracy thing that Cobain wanted to kill himself at the age of 27 because he wanted to join the 27 Club. There's also the huge conspiracy theory surrounding Courtney Love, his then wife, as well, to actually being the one that killed Kurt Cobain because Cobain wanted her out the will and all that extra stuff. So there's that going on with it. In 2011, 17 years after Cobain's death, Amy Winehouse died at the age of 27 as well. And that actually prompted a renewed swell of media attention devoted to the club once again. 3 years earlier, she expressed a fear of dying at that age. The club is a list consisting mostly of musicians and actors. What do we have here? That's a double. I put that shit down twice. Now, an individual doesn't necessarily have to be a musician to qualify as a member of the 27 Club. They included Jonathan Brandis, who committed suicide in 2003 in the list as members of the 27 Club, and Anton Yelchin, who played in a punk rock band, was primarily a film actor, was also described as a member of the 27 Club upon his death. And
Jonathan Brandis, that was the kid from Home Improvement.
No, Jonathan Brandis. Now, if you see his face, you'll recognize him, but it's tough for me to even like remember what he was in. I'm gonna bring up Jonathan Brandis's bio right now. Hold on, where is he?
Yeah, because that's what I was asking about the suicide. I wonder how many people actually like purposely wanted to be part of that 27 Club. Like it just
Let's get into a couple of artists that have joined the 27 Club. I have a whole bunch of artists that joined the 27 Club. We have
Can you mention the Way of Death too? So if it's
So we have Mia Zapata, who died July 7th, 1993. She was murdered. Amy Winehouse.
Who's that again?
Mia Zapata is. She died in 1993. She was the lead singer of the Seattle punk band The Gits.
Okay.
And she was around for the whole grunge thing.
Okay.
Yeah. We have Amy Winehouse, of course, 2011, alcohol poisoning. We have Jeremy Ward. He died in 2003 of a drug overdose. Jeremy Ward was the vocal operator for the Mars Volta and the dub outfit De Facto. I have no idea who any of those are. Richard Turner, Gary Thane, Lily Tembo, September 14th, 2009, from gastritis. Freaky Ta. Freaky Ta from the Lost Boys. He was murdered March 28th, 1999. He's part of the 27 Club. Rockin' Robin Roberts. He was a member of the Fabulous Wailers, I believe it's called. The Wailers out of Tacoma, Washington. The Fabulous Wailers or the Wailers, I don't know. But he died of a drug overdose. or sorry, I am completely wrong. He died of a car crash. Who do we have here? Fat Pat. We all know Fat Pat from the Screwed Up Click. You know what I'm saying? They're, I think they were affiliates of, you got Fat Pat, 36 Mafia, DJ Screw, Screwed Up Click, of course. He was murdered. Who do we have here? Jim Morrison died of heart failure. 1971. Who else do we got here that's Brian? We got Linda Jones, Brian Jones, Jonathan Brandis. So Jonathan Brandis died suicide by hanging. Now let's see what he was in. He was in Stephen King's It. He was one of the kids in It. He was in The NeverEnding Story 2. Sequest DSV. Who's the Boss? Blossom. Murder, She Wrote. Full House. Kate and Allie. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. He was in Sidekicks. Ladybugs with Roddy Dangerfield.
I'm just and pulling up his picture now.
Yeah, he voiced some in Aladdin. He voiced Mozanrath in Aladdin, everything like that. So yeah. Oh, what else he's in? Oliver and Company. He did a lot of voice acting. Oliver and Company. He was in Pet Sematary, Ghost Dad, Never Ending Story, Sidekicks, Ladybugs, Born Free.
Ghost Dad. Stuff.
Ghost Dad with Billy Cosby.
Yeah.
With Bill Cosby. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that joined the 27 Club. There is a book. Now there's the 27 Club. They're saying that not that it's a conspiracy theory, but that it's something out there, whether they want to say it's supernatural or destiny or something. Are you locking the door on the... or if it's something that's causing everybody... So it's like a huge coincidence that all these artists and people are dying at 27. So not like it's a conspiracy theory, right? Because yeah. I think a conspiracy theory would have to have a group of people that plan... in order to make something, but there's got to be something cosmic behind all of these people dying at the age of 27. What do you think about that?
You know, I'm very not like superstitious, or my first initial kind of thought would be like it's just a coincidence. And I wonder what the math is if you took all the celebrities that have died of premature causes. Is 27 actually the most common age?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that.
Did you look that up?
I did. I'm glad you asked that. I don't have the numbers, but the answer is no.
Okay.
The answer is no. The myth behind it leads people to believe that this is a majority of when artists are dying. Mm-hmm. They're not. That's it. They're not. It's a myth. It's an urban legend type thing. You know what I'm saying? So this one book, I actually want to get this book because it seems like it'd be a dope read, and I really don't think that I would have had time to read this for the show, but it's something I want to read and maybe revisit during the minisode or something like that. But The 27s, The Greatest Myths of Rock and Roll, authored by Eric Segalstad. It's a nonfiction narrative. It tells the history of rock and roll seen through the lives and legacies of 34 musicians who died at the age of 27. The book was intended as a music history work and visual journey, going through the lives of like Robert Johnson, Brian Jones, Hendrix, Joplin, Jim Morrison, Cobain, and a whole bunch of different other musicians. He told the Huffington Post that the artwork tells a story as well. 22 original portraits. Now this dispels the myth that there is a spike or a huge majority of artists died at the age of 27. It's a very small minority of artists that died at the age of 27. It's just that every time an artist dies at the age of 27, there's more eyes towards it. And then that the whole 27 Club mythology, if you will, starts to pop up again.
I know you don't have the numbers, but do you remember, like, was it significantly older, or was it like, because I imagine in my head, I feel like every like celebrity will like die at like 51, you know, just like they partied, like they They just have like cocaine hearts. So like they partied hard. They probably slowed down in their 40s, but by the time they hit 50, their heart is like 89.
Right. So, and that's a good take on it. And the only thing that is crazy to me and maybe is like amazing to me at the same time is look at the Rolling Stones. I think all of the Rolling Stones except for Brian Jones. I think Brian Jones was a member of the Rolling Stones who's a part of the 27 Club, if I'm not mistaken, are alive. And Keith Richards, the drummer, is it Keith Richards? Yeah, he looks like he died last week.
Yeah, they all look like they're a million years old.
It's got to be something in that. It's got to be something in London's water, bro. There has to be something they're drinking in London's water that kind of counteracted the cocaine on the heart, bro. It had to be. Okay, so the 27 Club, similar group of people. I'm looking at some stats. Like the 27, it's easy to see that there's a primate. Some people are putting in like graphs and shit. Like I was looking at these graphs and shit, and it's just like a lot of the information you get on here, there's thousands and thousands of musicians that probably died at the age of 27. But the
Thousands.
more I there's probably thousands, right? But the more I looked into it and more official records of deaths and reported and things like that, there's only about 45 members in Wikipedia. And that's going back to 1908 from that whole list that I pulled. There's only about 45 members, right? So that doesn't mean like there's probably musicians that died at 27, but maybe they didn't pop or, they just whatever happened. They weren't a part of like pop culture or anything like that. So, and there's probably millions of people.
Oh yeah, of
Like,
course.
you know what I'm saying? I like if you think about like local Calgary artists, there's probably like one or two that died at the age of 27 too. You know what I'm saying? So
Actually, how
there's
old
not.
was McPhee?
I think he was older than 27. We were in the 30s.
Yeah. That wasn't that long. That was like four years ago.
Yeah, RIP McPhee too.
Yeah,
Real
big dude.
stand-up dude, RIP Fee. If you look at Lennon, Elvis, now a lot of artists didn't die at 27. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. A lot of artists didn't die at 27 that still have huge conspiracies around them. You look at Pac, you look at Lennon, you look at Elvin, you look at Zappa, you look at Jackson, and even like older musicians like Mozart, Beethoven, Wagner, Paganini, Lutz, Caruso, none of them died at 27, but they all have lore around their deaths, respectively. Especially, I mean, I didn't look into Mozart's and Beethoven's and them at all. Like, I just saw that they had shit around them. And whatever, I don't know what the fuck myths would be back in the day. Like, I believe Thou's wig was not on as tight as Thou said it was during the Seventh Symphony. But you look at Lennon has. Lennon has huge conspiracy around him. Elvis is still alive, hanging out with Tupac in Cuba or something like that. So, I know I didn't really come with numbers. I really just wanted to like let the listeners know what the 27 Club was, what it was about, and then just get into a discussion about that. Like, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like there's a conspiracy around it? We could talk into artists that they say that are clones and stuff like that. I mean, how you feeling about the 27 Club so far?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I would like to know why, I guess, culture and media decided to make it a popular thing. You know what I mean? Why are they focusing on that age group?
Now, I think it was because there was that group between, where was it now? There was a group between 61 and 73, wasn't it? So you had a point where Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Jim Morrison died between 1969 to 1971. and they were all 27. And that may have been what kind of pushed it into popular culture before it died off.
Yeah.
But then you had Kurt Cobain dying and his mom making that comment about, I wish he didn't join that club.
Yeah.
And people speculating on the 27 club, right? Now, I know you can look at drug overdoses and things like that, but do you think that the 27 club is an actual club that artists are low-key trying to get into?
Fuck. I mean, I don't think people, except for the people that commit suicide, who really wants, like, no one wants to die.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, 27's young, man. Like, I mean, when you're that young, it doesn't feel like it's you're that young. Like, but now, like, can you imagine if you died at 27?
Yeah, how much shit between 27 and now that you?
Yeah, and you're just like, holy, and you realize, like, wow, I didn't even lived yet. Like, I didn't experience this. I hadn't had that. There's so much more to life from then. Like, I would not be in no rush to join no fucking club. I'd rather join the 72 club than the 27 one.
Yeah, I'd rather be in the 72 club. I'd rather be in the 85 club.
Yeah,
so really? I feel like even if you were in the 72 club, the closer you get in the 72, you'd be like, damn, I had a choice. Like, we prolong this by another 10 years? Because facing mortality is probably got to be the scariest thing. Really, really, really facing mortality.
I wonder, because, and also I have a conspiracy. I feel like once you make it past, like, do you notice, like, most people either die, like, late 60s, early 70s, or they're, like, they go into their, like, 90s? Like, I feel like most people don't die in their 80s. But I might be just making that up. But I feel like once you make it to 80, you're going to make it to 90.
I hope. I don't know. I have. That's not really something that I've noticed.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'll probably be completely wrong, but I just feel like people that make it to their 80s always make it to their 90s. Or at least, like, except super late.
Except for the people that died in their 80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
But where the fuck was I going with this?
I love your theory. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk a little bit about Jim Morrison. I know we're a quote unquote hip hop podcast, but I fuck with Jim Morrison. And I got to give a shout out to Val Kilmer for his performance of Jim Morrison in The Doors. Spot on. Anyways,
Jim Morrison. I haven't watched that movie, actually.
Huh?
I haven't actually watched that movie.
No, it's a pretty dope movie. Even if you're not a Doors fan or into that style of music or anything like that, it's an actually very entertaining movie. He was the charismatic lead singer of The Doors, a 1960s band blending rock, blues, and psychedelia. Some of my favorite combinations, psychedelia. Yeah. Through hit songs including Light My Fire, Touch Me, and Riders of the Storm. Their appeal coupled well-crafted studio songs with Jim Morrison's overt sexuality, adolescent poetry, and Los Angeles swagger. That's very descriptive. Wearing tight leather and calling himself the Lizard King, Morrison's stage act was typically a drunken, profanity-laced character, a charade of self-destruction. It's like a hip-hop concert, so you gotta be
a... Sounds like Old Dirty Bastard.
But exactly, right? But after he allegedly exposed himself during several concerts, the game was afoot. Morrison fled to Paris, seeking refuge from the legalities surrounding a Miami indecent exposure incident. He had avoided jail with a pending appeal of $50,000 and a plane ticket to France. So he wandered the streets of the city, dog-eared folders of poetry in a plastic bag under his arm, taking in the aura of the ghosts and pests and poets who called this place home. Let me enlarge this shit. I don't even know if I'm reading this shit right. The ghosts and the pets. Let me put this shit in front of me here. Hold on. All right, it's much better. Here we go. He discovered the Rock and Roll Circus, which is a nightclub in the trendy Left Bank, and partied there practically every night with the likes of Roman Polanski, Marianne Faithfull, and the Beatles and the Stones. Morrison, who envisioned himself an exiled American poet, arrived in the City of Lights March 1971 with his common law wife, Pamela Corson. 4 months later, he was dead. Yeah, I did that. That he was dead. That's my motherfucking Unsolved Mysteries voice. All the conspiracy theories. Wait, Morrison's body. Okay, so this is the weird part. So his end was a sad affair. Morrison's weight had increased. His face has grown bloated. He wore a wild and scruffy beard and had lost much of his lean and dangerous rock star persona. His health
got fat.
Yeah, it's kind of like how Val Kilmer did now. I think Val Kilmer kind of did the same thing. His health suffered after years of heavy drinking and following in the ghosts of Jack Kerouac, Dylan Thomas, and Hank Williams. He staggered drunkenly to the end of that inevitable lost highway. I like how this motherfucker writes. I think I'm a bookmark normal and paranormal. I think I'm a bookmark.
I thought Jim Morrison died from heroin.
That's what I would have thought too, but it was alcohol abuse. Morrison's swollen body was found in the bathtub of his... No, the heroin was the dude from Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay.
He died of the overdose. I can't remember his name.
And Jimi Hendrix too, right?
Did Hendrix die from heroin? Hendrix was... Let me see here. Asphyxiation.
Like he choked himself?
Yeah, as he died in... Oh, no, you know what? He threw up in his sleep. He was high off something. He threw up in his sleep or he was too drunk. And he died of asphyxiation. That's another conspiracy, too. His swollen body was found in the bathtub of his Right Bank apartment. He reportedly died of heart failure. But because there is no sign of foul play in accordance with the French law, no autopsy was performed. Stranger still, the singer's corpse was viewed by only a handful of individuals. Then the rumors began. Some say Morrison faked his own death and is still alive, laughing somewhere at this morbid joke, while others have proposed a bizarre theory of international intrigue and murder. See, I did it again. Intrigue and murder. Nigga, I could do this. This could be my whole job, like sitting here sweating out my ball sack.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I got this. I'm going to send you the link if you're in the Discord. I'm just going to send, if you want to read along and help me, I'm going to send you the link there. The flamboyant singer of the Doors. Wait, I'm done. Skipped all the way ahead. All the conspiracy theories had their roots in Morrison's favorite bar. An interview with USA Today, Sam Burnett, a former nighttime manager of the Rock and Roll Circus, recalled that around 1 a.m. on July 3rd, 1971, Morrison met with two drug dealers who sold him heroin for Pamela.
Heroin for Pamela.
Sold him heroin for Pamela. What was the name of his common law wife? Pamela.
Jim Moore.
Okay. Oh, no. Sold him heroin for Pamela. So not that he paid. Nigga, you know you on.
Oh, sorry. On, sorry. I'm dying. Nigga.
I know, I'm but sorry. Still.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. That's
so not that he traded the heroin for Pamela. But he bought the heroin for Pamela. Yeah, it's just poorly written. Where was I? That threw me all the way off. It's like, yo, I need some heroin. You want to take my wife? Later, when Ben noticed that Morrison had disappeared, his bouncer broke down the door of a locked toilet stall. The singer... Wait, Burnett recollected the flamboyant singer of the Doors, the beautiful California boy, his words, not mine, had become an inert lump crumpled in the toilet of a nightclub. We've all been there. We've all been inert lumps crumpled in a nightclub toilet once or twice. It was maybe not because of heroin, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you had the pizza from the pizza vendor before the club. And that shit just crippled you as soon as motherfucking From the Window to the Wall came on. I don't know. Burnett says he asked the doctor, who was also conveniently a customer of the club, to examine the singer. This is what fucks me up. It's like, oh my God, fuck? Jim Morrison is ODing in the bathroom. This motherfucker
is
went out to the middle of
the
club.
House?
Is there a doctor? Exactly. Is there a doctor in the house? And there happened to be one. When we found
and
him,
it wasn't like Dr. Dre.
It wasn't Dr. Dre. Right? Or fucking Dr. Pepper or Sergeant Pepper or whatever. I don't know.
Dr. Pepper.
When we found him dead, he had a little foam on his nose and some blood too. And the doctor said that must be an overdose of heroin. So I don't even think this was a doctor who found Morrison. I think this was a doctor that someone just asked after the fact. They said, oh yeah, that's what What's going on outside your house, bro?
I gotta shut the window. Like, I'm already dying, but that's too loud. I gotta shut that window real quick.
So Thaddeus is gonna go shut his window. I'm gonna comment how this motherfucker moved right in the direct pathway of the motherfucking Pontiac Grand Prix 3000 or the Gumball 3000, and is currently fucking hooligans and street toughs street racing in front of his house. And he just sound annoyed as fuck. You can hear him. You can just hear, oh my God.
I apologize.
My God.
It's just so good. My wife does this thing where she opens the window too far that she basically breaks it. So I gotta actually remove the screen to, so I'm like, I don't have time to do that. I'm sorry.
No, I was just letting the people know how you move to on the fucking the direct course of the Gumball 3000 and just the street toughs and hooligans street racing in front of your fucking house. And yeah. Shit. It's okay. It's okay though. It's just fun to edit.
Sorry. Fun to edit.
I gotta edit this nigga blowing his nose. His baby yelling at the dog. The dog yelling back at the baby. Street racing.
I need to get out of this house, man. We need a studio, bro.
We do.
I cannot control this environment.
It's all good. So the doctor said it must be a heroin overdose. Burnett added that he did not see Morrison take heroin that night, but said the singer was known to sniff the drug because he was afraid of needles. I actually know a couple of people back in the day that sniffed heroin because they didn't like needles too. And just offered that shit like it was fucking, hey, you want some heroin? Like, no, I don't. What? Like, it's nothing. Like a nigga would pass you a blunt, and he'd be like, nah, I don't smoke. It's all good. Like, you want some heroin?
You want to hit this weird, needle real quick?
Yeah, that's a weird drug to just offer casually. Like, hey. Yeah, so did he really die at the rock and roll circus? Because now, remember, we said that he was found in this hotel room in the tub. Mm-hmm. They're saying that he died at the rock and roll circus. So, according to Burnett's recollection, the two drug dealers insisted Morrison was just unconscious and carried him out of the club. Though Burnett said he wanted to call the paramedics and authorities, the club's owner ordered him to keep quiet to avert a scandal. Burnett believes the dealers brought Morrison's body home and dropped it into the bathroom in an attempt to revive him.
That's cold.
Yeah. Right, that's it's cold. There's so many conspiracies around it. French law enforcement received a different explanation from Corson, his wife, common law. She recalled that they attended a late night showing of a movie called Pursued. I'm done with these names. Robert so and so made the movie called Pursued. They went out for dinner, then they fell asleep after listening to records. Morrison awoke in the night feeling ill and took a hot bath. Corson found him dead in the tub and called local French medical examiner Max Basile, who listed the cause of death as heart failure. Several people viewed the sealed coffin, including the door's manager, Bill Siddons, who apparently chose not to view the corpse. Siddons' official statement to the press said Jim Morrison died of natural causes and that the death was peaceful. Singer Marianne Faithfull furthered the confusion now. So now we have two stories.
How can you die of natural causes at the age of 27?
Well, I mean, if you do a lot of drugs and the day your heart fails is a day that you're sober, they're going to call it natural causes.
No, dude, you had a heart attack. Like, it's not a natural cause.
Well, a heart attack is natural causes. I think, isn't it? Don't they just call that natural causes?
I don't think so.
Well, if your heart just stops, that's not a heart. Isn't a heart attack when your heart goes extra? I don't
Well, there's like cardiac
know.
arrest, and then there's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if your heart just stops.
And this was keep in mind, this was his manager that said natural causes. It wasn't like the medical official stamp on the death certificate. This was a nigga saying, oh, he died of natural causes. Probably just to say, well, he didn't die of a drug overdose and he wasn't murdered. So the next thing was natural causes. That fan kills me, bro. Like, how you put it on, too. Like, you close your eyes and spray it on. Like, motherfucking, you're about to walk into, like, some kind of, like, Paris fashion show, bro. I have no idea why that was going to. That makes no sense.
Yo, I apologize for this episode. I'm a fucking hot mess.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. Idol's not here, so we'll blame him.
Okay.
How's that? We'll blame Idol for this one.
I'm a hot mess.
The show episode's not going bad, though. I don't think the episode's going bad.
No, the episode's fine. Jude. It's a hot just mess. Sniffling.
Nighttime sneezing. Can't stay awake.
Sweating.
Allergies killing you, medicine. Ugh. Bro, you gotta sweat it out. We sweat it out every week. Like, I have no window. I have a fan that's just circulating my own funk. Yeah. Like, it's nothing good.
I think it's just the allergies on top of this.
And allergies, and then of course we're having a couple of drinks, and when you have a buzz and your allergies kick in, like when you have a buzz and you sneeze 4 times in a row, you're just like, fuck it, just put my head in a bucket of cold ice water. Like, it's not fun. It's so congested. Anyways, so we have 2 stories about how he died. One story that say that he died in the club and was carried out. Another story from his common-law wife that said that he died in the tub. They didn't go to the club or anything like that. Singer Marianne Faithfull added to the confusion with the interview in Mojo. Sounds like a magazine I need to subscribe to. I like.
Wait, wasn't there witnesses in the club?
Not from, there probably was, but nobody that came forward or corroborated, except for that bouncer and is there a doctor in the house? Doctor,
yeah,
that said that you're foaming on the nose and shit. Marianne Faithfull furthered the confusion with the interview in Mojo. She said, "I didn't kill Jim Morrison, but I know who did." She said that her former lover, Jean de Petit, my bad, was a drug dealer and was responsible for Morrison's overdose death. Faithfull confirmed that Petit visited Morrison at, bro, being a Canadian, I should know this shit, but 17 Rue Baratrellis. I'm sorry. He went to see Jim Morrison and he killed him. I mean, I'm sure it was an accident. Poor bastard. The smack was too strong. Yeah. And he died. And I don't know anything about this. Anyway, everybody connected to the death of this poor guy is dead now. Except me.
Except
so
me.
This bitch said he went to see Jim Morrison and killed him. And then followed up with, but I'm sure it was an accident. The smack was too strong and he died. And then she says, I don't know anything about this.
you just
said a whole lot you knew about it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards said everybody connected to this death is dead except for me. But what do you mean? You just said you don't know nothing about it. So this little, I think she's trying to catch clout. And then they have a picture of a bathtub. I don't know why they have a picture. Oh, this was the bathtub they found him in?
Oh, that's probably. Cool.
Yeah. Now, there's another, like this one's kind of crazy. So now I'm not going to go through too much of this one because we're at like the 46 minute mark, but there's another one, another conspiracy theory, with the Mossad assassination team. Just the name of that right now.
Sounds crazy.
Crazy. Another conspiracy theory suggested that Morrison was killed by a Mossad assassination team, possibly the Kaidan or Kassara, operating under the top secret plausible deniability code. I don't know how top secret plausible deniability is, because I mean, at the end of the day, anytime a nigga get in my car, I'd be like, if you got something, don't tell me, because my deniability needs to be plausible. The term coined by the CIA in the 60s describes withholding of information from senior officials in order to protect them from repercussions should illegal CIA activities become public knowledge. That tactic rendered it impossible to prove a direct connection between the alleged Mossad assassination and Israel. Now, this is where this one gets deep. This one actually gets deep. I really should have did the whole episode on Jim Morrison. Yeah. The 27 Club. Cool. A lot of motherfuckers died at 27, but this Jim Morrison shit is fucked.
Yeah.
So, shit, it's the Jim Morrison episode now. Now, Morrison's father, Rear Admiral Stephen Morrison, played a key role in this conspiracy theory. Morrison commanded U.S. naval forces in the Gulf of Tonkin during the Gulf Tonkin incident, August 1964, which triggered the Vietnam War. During the Six-Day War, Israeli Defense Forces attacked and sank this U.S. Intelligence ship Liberty, killing 34 Americans, wounding 171. This was on June 8, 67. Israeli forces claimed they had misidentified Liberty as a hostile Egyptian ship, but not everyone agreed. Commander Morrison opposed the official U.S. Navy response to the attack and proposed an immediate, swift economic and military response against Israel for the attack on the U.S. Navy ship. Because of Morrison's criticism, conspirators concluded that a Mossad hit squad killed his son as the big payback. Retired admiral really shouldn't be throwing his death into a James Brown reference. Retired Admiral Thomas Moore, a former Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, spent a year investigating the Israeli attack. As a chief of naval operations at the time of the incident, he formed an independent panel with other military officials, including James Atkins, who was a former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia. He called the sinking of the USS Liberty one of the classic all-American cover-ups. Moore asked at a news conference, why would our government put Israelis' interests ahead of our own? Like most conspiracy theories, a kernel of truth is conveniently surrounded by conjecture and innuendo. What is striking is that information about the sinking of the Liberty and Commander Morrison's criticism have been ignored by the media. Months before his demise, Morrison had gone into exile. His remains are allegedly buried in the 6th Division of the Père Lachaise Cemetery, protected from the storm of youthful fanaticism and a metal fence. His tombstone remains the most visited and popular among celebrities, never without flowers, graffiti, or bottles of exotic liquors. A Greek inscription on his epitaph reads, Katon Etoi Daemon, true to his own spirit. There's much surrounding Morrison's death that we may never know. Some have speculated that Commander Morrison, with the means, motive, and opportunity, took his son's body from Paris and clandestinely repatriated it back to the United States. It's been written that those who live by the sword die by the sword. Morrison lived his life in the moment, intuitively sensing that his Dionysian journey would soon end. He died at 27 and is a member of the ill-fated Course of 27 Club, or the 27 Club. And ironically, like the lyrics to one of his songs, he broke through to the other side. That was weak. With a drink in one hand and perhaps singing, "This is the end, my friend." I thought they're gonna hit us like with a deep lyric, not "break on through to the other side." I thought they're gonna hit us with a deep lyric, like with Dirk, one of his songs. I step into the vast darkness of the abyss, and the abyss stares back.
So he was buried in France.
That's what they say. But some people believe that he was repeated. Well, he died in France.
I don't know.
And he was exiled, right? He left the U.S. because
I guess he was. That means you kind of gave up your stage. You gave up your U.S. kind of citizen rights, right?
I guess, yeah. So, if you die somewhere, you're going to be buried where you die unless someone requests for your body to be brought back to where you are. So yeah, let's say you went to, Africa. Let's say you went to, we took a trip to Senegal.
Yeah.
And one of us died in Senegal. We'd be buried in Senegal unless one of our family members requests for us to come back, or we brought you back. I think. I could be wrong on that, too.
That's strange, because I feel like if, first, so like, if I'm not if I wasn't like a Canadian citizen, I'm just visiting here and I died here.
Right.
The Canadian authorities could keep my body, like they would just keep
They
it and
have,
just.
unless someone requests for it back, 'cause I mean, they send it back and then
Yeah, I
just
guess,
keep you
but
at the
like,
airport.
but I mean, if they didn't know any, like, for instance, if I died in, let's say I was on a trip to fucking Portugal, and someone called
Right.
my mom was like, "Hey, sorry, your son died. His body's here." She wouldn't be like, "All right, well, keep that
Yeah, she's gonna ask for it back, right?
nigga." Like, yeah. So I can't imagine Jim Morrison dying in Paris and his family just being like, "Keep him."
Right, but I mean, that makes sense. But I mean, he was a big celebrity, and it
Yeah.
doesn't seem like that, like even just like looking at like they're saying that his father had him repatriated in private. Now, it could
Oh,
have been in his
that makes sense.
yeah,
I
or
thought it
in
was like
private or other.
he had to like basically steal the body. I was like, why wouldn't they just give him his son back? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, they said that some speculated that Commander Morrison, which is his father, the means, motive, and opportunity took his son's body from the Paris gravesite. So it doesn't even seem like
But that sounds like he's like had to like
took it out
stole it,
the
like he wasn't
yeah
given permission
exactly
to.
like he took it from the gravesite. That doesn't sound like I called Paris authorities and said I want my son back type thing, right? And Morrison could have said, I'm here in France. If I die in France, bury me in France. His common law wife was there. They probably, after however long they were there, established shop there. You know what I'm saying? And she's like, I want him buried here. This is where he felt the freest and didn't have da 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 type thing. You know what I'm saying? So,
True, true,
I
true.
mean, we can start doing, let's say we start doing the show in London and we just fucking love it there. We want to be buried in London now, right? Or whatever. So it could, that could have been it. Whatever. That could have been a portion of it. It's definitely one of those things. And I jumped to Morrison because it seems like Morrison has a large amount of conspiracy around him, which kind of lends to the allure of the 27 Club. Now, there's no denying that the 27 Club exists. There's no membership fee, there's no special card, there's no jacket. But there's a lot of artists, famous artists,
No jacket.
influential artists that died at the age of 27. That is a club that wasn't created by these artists either. It was a club created by us, the media, the people. This the 27 Club is not a, and I don't feel, in my specific opinion, in my opinion, that the 27 Club is anywhere these artists intend to be. Another one. Remember we did that episode and we named it Basquiat. So Jean-Michel Basquiat,
Yeah, Jean-Michel.
he's Jean-Michel. Yeah, he's part of the 27 Club.
Oh, for real.
August 12th, 1988.
Heroin too, right?
Speedball. Yep. Kurt Cobain. Like it just seems like
That's
the
crazy.
27 Club is real. Now, there is theories around the 27 Club because there's theories about brain development and what fame, money, drugs, and opportunity do to the young mind. And it seems like sometimes that tw age of 27 is a turning point, right? So there's a lot of artists that died at 26, 25, 28, and 29, right? But that 27 Club just seems to be a hit, you know? Probably because the amount of fame associated with some of the other members that died, like Kurt Cobain, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, they're huge names, right? And they say something with once you start getting famous around your 20s, 22, 23, all the drugs come in, you're stunting that brain growth, and now your impulsive decisions are taking over your rational thought. And that leads to the risk of an early death, right? whether it is dying in a car crash because you're speeding crazy. Now, this was one I saw a YouTube video on it, and I heard a podcast and you're talking about it. So I didn't really dive too deep into that because there's a whole bunch of science words.
I like that concept though. Like it actually
makes sense, right?
Makes sense. Like, yeah.
It definitely
that's something I could almost like buy into and be like, okay, like I can comprehend how you could come to those conclusions, you know?
It makes sense, right? Because you're starting that live fast, die young, leave a good looking corpse type of mentality. And 23 to 32 is around that age. You know what I'm saying? That's that age where you're doing all that. Yeah. I mean, think about how we were when we were 27, 26, 25, bro. Yeah. We didn't have a whole bunch of money and we weren't doing a whole bunch of crazy drugs.
I was doing heroin.
Yeah. But think about how wild we were back then.
Well, it's tough to say.
We're getting like, our first.
Yeah, I feel like we're 27. But by that age, I was like starting to kind of like understand responsibility a bit more. At the same token, I can't relate to these guys because I've never known what it's like to have the entire world at my fingertips.
At your fingertips. But could you imagine? You remember like around that age, maybe even earlier.
And you're forgetting that 27 for them is that's the end for them. So like,
right.
We gotta imagine what's life being like
at 19, going up,
21, having the world at your fingertips. By the time you're 27, you basically feel like you're 50 because you've lived more life than the rest of the world.
And you're hitting that rock bottom sometimes too, right?
Yeah, but you've also lived like
multiple
lives. The highs of the highs and the lows of the lows. You just lived everything, like so. Your body.
Well, you remember that freedom we had when we were 19, 20, 21? That you just felt free. Like either you or your homie had a car. You had to worry about school no more. You had a little money in your pocket. Curfews weren't really a fucking thing. And remember that feeling of that freedom where you could do whatever the fuck you want. Like motherfuckers be going to fucking pre-drinking, going to the party, going to the after party, going to you and me. And then fucking walking out of a fucking rave at 6:30 in the fucking morning like, oh, we're going to do this all again tomorrow. Now imagine all that
with
fame and millions of dollars. And I don't even think it's the millions of dollars. It's the fame. Because sometimes fame, you ain't got to pay for shit.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I agree with you. I like that. Not like it, but that makes a lot of sense with the development of the brain at that early age and just being thrust onto that shit, right? So the 27 Club is a very, 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 very tragic club. Just going through these names, you start to remember, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, like Fat Pat and Freaky Ta and motherfucking Jonathan Brandis and
but you know what's Janis crazy, but Joplin. That actually only makes sense for, like, the people that died our quote-unquote cardiac arrest.
But you can even look at because like I said, it your impulsive thoughts take over your rational thoughts, because when you get age, through that age is when your rational thinking and like, consequence starts taking over. So you got motherfuckers dying in high speed car crashes, you got motherfuckers dying from a whole bunch of crazy shit,
murder,
traffic collisions, fucking but some of this shit murder, like some of this shit is crazy.
It does seem like it's outside forces, but like again,
oh yeah, you got neurosyphilitic sclerosis. That's syphilis, and this is in 1908. Okay, never mind. Niggas was dying of syphilis in 1908. But then you got a drowning accident for Finbar Donnelly. You got fell off of a horse and died from the injuries.
I don't know if that has anything to do with the development of the brain.
Richie Edwards. This one's a weird one. Richie Edwards, he was a Welsh musician, part of an alternative rock band, the Manic Street Preachers or whatever. But he disappeared near a common suicide site and was presumed dead. That's a weird one.
We never found his body?
Never found his body or him, no. Some of these are like someone.
Because sometimes you can find him, but not the body.
Well, if you find him, he's alive. So you didn't really find the body. You found the whole human. So usually you only find a body when the nigga dead. Like, isn't that it?
No, but the way you're like, they didn't find the body or him. I'm like, well.
Well, I'm just trying to specify.
If they found the body, they would have found him.
I'm trying to be descriptive for our listeners, goddamn it. Fredo Santana. He had cardiovascular disease and idiopathic epilepsy. Jay Grody was cervical cancer. Oris Grinstead was kidney failure. Hold on. That may be
that was a woman.
Jade Goody. Sorry.
Oh, Jade. I thought you said like Jay, like that, like the homeboy that died of cervical cancer. I was like, that nigga got cervical cancer.
No, Jade Goody. She was a
Don't that sound like a hood name? Yo, you know Jay Goody? You know that nigga Jay Goody? Does. The nigga, you got cervical cancer.
She don't look like a hood nigga.
No, but
she was a.
I thought it was a she dude. Was on like because you made it sound like stuff. A Jay, like Jay Goody. That's what I heard at first.
Orish Grinstead. Okay, Orish. I gotta look this up because I think this is a lie. But Orish. I hate to talk ill of the dead, but that's her name.
And how'd she die?
Okay, so Orish Grinstead. She was a founding member of 702. Where my girls at? No, that's, I don't think that's 702. Kidney failure. Leslie Harvey.
Yo, real quick, back to this Jim Morrison. Why? They said because there was no foul play, they refused to do an autopsy.
Right. So, I guess that was how France got down. Because the thing is, they do shit differently in different places.
Yeah. But you would France, think if there was probable cause.
France doesn't have a whole bunch of unnatural murders. If you die of an overdose, it's an overdose. If it's not, they, I guess that's how they got down. If it doesn't look like a murder, we're not going to do an autopsy.
Yes.
So, I mean, France got down differently in the 70s. It might be different now.
And you know what's crazy? It might sound crazy now because, like, we have all these conspiracies. But, like, back then when they looked at the body, it might have been more black and white.
Black and white, yeah.
And then all these conspiracies make it sound like, well, shit, if there's that many questions, why wouldn't they just do an autopsy? It's like, well, when he died, there wasn't really that many questions. Like, everybody knew, like, nigga, heart stop. Like,
but conspiracies had more power back then because you didn't have Google. You didn't have fact check. I don't even think you had the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah, but I can imagine the conspiracies didn't really pop up until like months after he's already dead. You know what I mean? Like,
right? Yeah. So if they had, and if they did, like, let's say the conspiracies popped off as soon as someone found out that he died, but only 8 blocks found out that he died and was hit, and yeah. Was hearing that conspiracy theory. That shit had to travel from Europe to the U.S. had to be in papers and yeah. Da-da-da, like on the traditional shit. So, yeah, and that's when, and that's
by
what I'm
way,
saying.
By
like,
that time, he's already 2 weeks dead, you know?
Like, yeah. And there's so much strep. So, even if you did an autopsy, you can be like, oh, we did an autopsy and he died by maggot. Well, no, he's been in the ground for 4 months, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's kind of crazy. I wanted to get into the 27 Club. I know the 27 Club is cut and dry. There's a number of artists. It's not more than any other age, right? It's actually a very low percentage, but it just seems to be like the number. And there's different. So this is what I avoid doing on purpose. There's a lot of these conspiracy theories where it's like, yo, Jim Morrison died in. Who is it? Peter Chekhov, right? So Chekhov. He died in 19 62, and he didn't though. But I'm just gonna make it up because people, for whatever reason, Chekhov from Star Trek just popped up on my screen. But Chekhov died in 1962. You take those numbers and divide it by the letters in his name, and then you fucking take his favorite food, which was potatoes au gratin, and au gratin in Spanish is El Diablo. Now you take, and they yeah. all the, there's like a thousand fucking conspiracy yeah. theories where they break everything down to the number 27. And I'm looking at these like, that's crazy, that's crazy, that's crazy. Then I'm like, bro, if you take Illuminati and like divide it by a specific number and take the and then take the Appleton, which is 40%, and you take 403, which is my zip code, and add it together, that's 7. And if you take the number of people that are in my house at this very moment, that's 2. I'm in the 27. You know what I'm saying? So there's like yeah. so many of these different clubs. Like, motherfuckers have broken down the conspiracy theory to crazy. And at first, you're like, that's fucking wild. Like, how the fuck? Like, that's crazy. It's got to be something to it. And then you keep looking into it, looking into it, looking into it. And you'd be like, you can take any number and yeah. turn anything into a conspiracy yeah. theory that that adds to it. And I think that kind of that kind of adds to the mythos of the 27 Club.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can take all these different quote-unquote signs and things like that. And it's kind of crazy because the 27 Club is an extremely tragic club. Yeah. But the more you look into it and the more extravagant it looks, it's probably, in my opinion, the most exclusive club to be a part of. Huh. And that's my take on the 27 Club. There you have it, gentleman.
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 The disgruntled gentleman.
There you go. I like that album. My favorite is still My Best Is Yet to Come.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Bro, you know how much the favorite that was. Like, I was... pause, like a huge pause on this, but I was riding your jock for a hot minute. Like, how many times you get a random text from me is like, nigga, it's still in my da-da-da. I'm still listening to this. I'm still listening. I'm like, yo, like, that album was like one of my favorite fucking albums. Shit, bro. It's like, I was gonna put a song as my ringtone, then I'm like, nah, man, that's gay as hell.
Nah, like,
I have
man,
nothing against gay people, but I don't want to do gay stuff.
Nah, man.
But nah, that was one of my favorite joints, bro. Like, dead in and dead off. Like, and you like, you my nigga. And it's like one of those things where it's like, I got a lot of niggas that rap, but not a lot of niggas that rap that stay on playlists and stay in the random shuffle.
Word.
You know, the random shuffle of your shits and yeah. shit. And it's one of those things where it's like, yo, Thaddeus, yo, My Best Is Yet to Come stayed in my random sample of shuffle shit. Cause the shit just fucking just, it was such a fucking breeze of music.
That's dope, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a breeze. Like, when that breeze hits you, and you just like, yeah. And you just like, let the breeze hit me. I ain't stepping out this wind right now, bro. Let the breeze hit. It was such a breeze of music. It was such a, it was a wonderful thing. But I'm done riding your jock.
You know what's crazy about that album? I always felt like it was supposed to be like a mixtape where it's like, yo, this ain't even the album. My best is still yet to come.
Yet to come.
And
yeah.
it was like, shit. That was my best shit. The best never
my
came.
Best
that
yet
was
to
it.
Come.
That
really?
Was
psych.
Yeah.
I'm dropping some Lost Tape shits on you next, motherfuckers. Yeah. Then I'm having a kid.
Basically.
So, what are your thoughts on the 27 Club? Conspiracy and Jim Morrison. Like, how do you think, first of all, Jim Morrison? Do you
I think the whole thing
drug
is...
dealers peacefully from the tub or
I don't know. It's tough. Like, a lot of this, I'm kind of hearing these details for the first time, and it sounds like, yo, at first it sounds like, yo, that nigga was murdered. And then, but like, his close wife was like, nah. Or not wife, but like, companion.
Man, I said his close wife. Apart from the wife that he left back. His close wife.
Well, you know, his companion was just like, nah, we were just chilling and he died. Like,
he got up, didn't feel good, and died.
So I don't know what to believe, but yeah, the 27 Club is anytime you hear coincidence like that, it sound it, Multiple coincidence sounds like purpose.
Like a conspiracy.
It, not even
three coincidences is a conspiracy or something like that.
Yeah. But then you forget like with the 7 billion people on the planet, if 10 27-year-olds die, that's not a coincidence. That's just
right.
Basic statistics. You know what I mean?
But if you have 10 27-year-olds from the Boys and Girls Club in Little Rock, Arkansas on 32nd Street, that might narrow it down a little bit, though.
It sounds like it, but then you realize now there's 10 27-year-olds that die in every street every day across the entire world. Then you're like, oh, dying at 27 is not that rare. The fact that 10 of them happen to be celebrities is just statistics.
But if let's let's narrow it down to celebrities then.
But we've proven that because you even said like the numbers prove that it's not.
Yeah.
That hype, like.
I probably should have buried that lead. So I feel like that would have been a good conversation. I feel like I should have left that shit out, and I should have said.
You should have.
Oh yeah. Now that we had the conversation. Out of the head. Yeah, I should have. Right.
Yeah.
Because then it would have been a better conversation. You like, nah, nigga. You already said it wasn't. So what do you mean? My opinion is facts, nigga. What are you talking about? I forgot to turn off my fan this whole podcast.
Don't worry, I didn't turn off 17th Ave. It's been all night. Bro,
17th Ave is just like it's all those cats that have the bikes. You know what fucks me up? But though, actually, you know what? I'm gonna save this for the mini episode or anything like that. Yeah, so that's the 27 Club. RIP to everybody on the 27 Club. I'm not going to list all of them because this is a long list. I'm going to actually post the Wikipedia links for the 27 Club and the book as well. If you guys want to look into it and grab that as well, I'm going to post that into our, the description of the podcast, because it's definitely a good read to get into it. Now, if you guys have any comments or anything like that, or if you want to hit us up and talk more about the 27 Club, you could always hit up the Discord. The Discord link is in the chat. You could hit us up on Patreon. You're going to get a little mini episode today. We didn't review an album, but I definitely want to talk about the motorcycles outside Jay's window. Thaddeus, where can they find you, fam?
Google me, baby!
You can find me, Illuminati.
The look on your face, bro.
Just the Google like, me baby kills me. And I'm pretty sure, like, I want to know who has Googled J Thaddeus. If you have Googled J Thaddeus, the next time you Google J Thaddeus, pick one of his platforms and send him a message.
Yo, just write and then hashtag he can't say Google me.
Yeah. And he can't say Google me anymore because it's like, oh, this is the one. Then you got to look at where you're getting the most comments and be like, yeah, okay, I got to, like, narrow down my shit.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you can find me with Illuminati with a one and all anywhere you want to go to. Best way to find all my shit is Linktree, and then just search for Illuminati, W, the number one, Illuminati. But most importantly, one of our favorite things to do is run these. Yeah, I saw you. It's a good thing you turned on. Yeah. My man turned on the light. It's a good thing we ain't streaming because you was looking real conjuring right there. one of our favorite things to do is rant for 15 to 20 minutes on a mini episode. We do that. We try to get that in on us every episode we do, and it's only for our patrons. If you go to patreon.com/allthesmokepodcast, you will get mini episodes. We are going to start putting up exclusive gear, more exclusive content. It's summertime. Cameras are out. Asses are clapping. Sundresses are in more than season. So, you know, hit a Patreon to get that exclusive content. None of us will be in a sundress. So, hate to disappoint y'all. All the Smoke Pod on Twitter, _ I Want All the Smoke on Instagram, or www.iwantallthesmokepodcast.com. Shout out to everybody that tunes in and listens and loves us, and Yeah, we'll catch up with y'all next week.
Peace out.